At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
30, then it's Illinois and Iowa State at 10. This one brought to you by Keno.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, welcome back aboard. Outstanding to have all of you. Lend me your ears. We've got a nice show for you today. It's Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and CB. Boys, how we feeling?
Oh, my goodness. How am I feeling?
About
I feel
that microphone
amazing.
Crank.
I feel amazing today. The sun is shining. Opening day is here. The Sweet 16 is about to pop off tonight. I'm living well.
Well, that is the question, right? Is will people watch baseball versus the Sweet 16? And it obviously, it depends if you have a team going tonight. But I think what March Madness does, the fact that this is kicking back in tonight, and you're loving it all because, A, baseball is here, and, B, Cinderella is pretty much gone out of the tournament outside of perhaps NC State, who may not even be a true Cinderella because when they went through their conference tournament and took out the Tar Heels, people were like, okay, I got to open my eyes to them a little bit. The fact that they get Marquette, now that'll happen tomorrow.
I also don't think you can be a Cinderella, in my opinion, when you come from a major conference.
You can't, even if you're a high seed?
You got to be a mid-major, in my opinion.
A low seed?
Yeah. To be like NC State, you came from the ACC.
Yeah.
That's just my view on it. You know, I get what you're saying with the seeding, but
what about San Diego State? They're a higher seed, but a lesser program.
I mean, we watched them play in the Natty last.
That's what I'm saying.
So,
but are they a?
No, you don't qualify. You got to be like a George Mason. You know, one of those type of.
A Mountain West doesn't do it for you, or whatever.
Think, you know, so that's my rule.
So
on
Cinderella
this.
Is gone.
They go. They
that's
go.
Amazing. The but only yeah. the greatest thing I could root for right now would be for you, would be somehow if San Diego State were to play NC State in the final. Yeah, I would love that for you.
How would the ratings be?
It'd be a nice 5-11 action.
Would CBS like that?
To your point, if it was a little school, or even if it was the Brainiacs of Yale or something like that, it would be. But you're right. It's not Morehead State. This isn't Drake. We're not Grand Canyon.
Right.
Like Charleston. Like something that would give you a little bit of Colgate.
Yeah, that's
the
Cinderella
old toothpaste
to me.
Final.
Yeah. And see, here's the thing. Even if some of those teams did make it to this point, I would be okay. You know my rule is you can't get past the Elite Eight. I'm sorry.
Oh, you mean no Final Four?
No Final Four.
Oh, so they
for
could
Cinderella.
Win tonight.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
But in the Final Four, I need top shelf stuff.
So you're looking for basically not necessarily all four number ones. And actually, the heavyweight battle, the heavyweight brand battle would be UConn versus Duke.
Mm.
If you get UConn Duke, now it'd be like Yankees Dodgers. You'd either hate it or love it.
Right.
And so, but if you got UConn, yeah, that would be it. UConn Duke.
I'll tell you a matchup that I would thoroughly enjoy in the final would be UConn and Purdue because of the big men. Watching Edie and Klingon get after each other, that would be a lot of fun to watch.
What about Carolina Duke?
Oh, my.
Puke?
I mean,
that would be bad?
No. I mean, it's
what about
the ultimate rival in the sport,
Illinois-Purdue.
Right? Sign me up.
Okay.
I'm good with all of these. Just no Cinderella.
Go Big Ten.
Yeah. No, I'm not that guy.
Go Big.
I've never seen that vision.
Go Home.
I've never seen that vision where people somehow, some way feel
what
better
about
their team when their team isn't there because a team from the conference did well. I don't see that vision.
What about Gonzaga finally cashing in?
I'm fine with it. Mark Few, they're an established brand in college basketball.
Not become like the Buffalo Bills, Minnesota Vikings, get there and lose every time.
That's tough. But no, that brand works for me. That'll get me going in the national championship game.
Look at this. We've created a little excitement for you.
I don't hate the Cinderellas that much.
Well, you really do. They're just not around for you to care right now. If they were, I think he'd be a little more heated. And that's all right. Man. I get it. I'm glad you own it. But yeah, this is where we are. I do think, and CBS asked us this question the other day, you know, the big upsets and all that. All I really need is for UConn to lose. And then all of a sudden, you just bring everybody to the party.
You like dogs and you like dogs. What's it? Why you got beef with the Huskies? You're a dog guy.
Well, they won it last year. That's all right. There's, I mean, that's fine. Are you a big Hurley guy? He's an interesting like or not like. I can't quite tell.
AR, I enjoy his antics. I like coaches that have a little character to them and a little pop to them. Like, I don't need Bob Knight style out there. Like, I don't need that. Okay. But Hurley will give you a little spice. Maybe I'm underestimating spice. A lot of spice every now and then. So he doesn't bother me as a fan. I like it. We talked about Coach Diebler yesterday, and he's got, I think, a little bit of that in him, and maybe that'll come out more throughout the years, but I'm cool with
the
Hurley.
The Hurley he boy?
Yeah, I'm good.
Did you see the superstitions that Hurley has going into this?
No, I have not.
Yeah, so he eats eight individual M&Ms before every game, not like a bag of them. Eight M&Ms.
Peanut M&Ms That's or plain?
Well, it wasn't specified to me.
I hope they're pretzels.
Same color?
That also was not specified.
But have to be the same color, right? Unless he's just eating the chocolate ones or whatever.
They're all chocolate, aren't
they? No, I mean, if he's eating peanut M&Ms, a different... Some people don't like certain colors of the M&Ms.
Which I don't understand.
And the other one is he's wearing the same outfit he wore the entire run to last year's national championship
game. Even the draws?
Well...
I mean, you could pull...
I don't know about that.
I love that. Maybe he's only got a six-man rotation through the tournament.
It just says he dresses head to toe in the same outfit.
Okay. I like that superstitious stuff. I like that. I kind of was that guy. I am that guy when it comes to my football team on Sundays. Like, if I wear like a jersey or whatever, a hoodie on Sunday, and we win, I'm wearing the same thing next weekend.
Okay, so you don't... All right, I get it.
Which I understand.
So if you suffer a big loss in that...
That outfit gets scrapped. Then we're going to something else the next Sunday.
But you'll bring it back in the rotation.
Eventually.
Again.
Okay. Eventually. But the next week... We got to go back into the closet and grab something new.
Yeah, I can't say that I've been that guy. I mean, there are times during a game where it's not going well and you feel like you have to change something up, move, you know, do something.
We do weird things as fans.
Yeah,
it has no impact on the game, but somehow in our brains, we think we have some type of control.
Maddie, that big Viking throne that I had, I used to sit in that thing. Big helmet. It's gone.
When's the Sam Darnold jersey arriving?
Sammy Darnold? That's getting darn old. I'm not going to...
Oh, man.
I don't know. I'm not purchasing that. As you know, I'm not a big jersey guy.
Okay. I get it.
I think the last one, most of them, the ones that I did have were probably gifts.
Mm-hmm.
I had like an old Joe Montana 16.
Ooh, where's that at?
Yeah, that's... Who knows? But that's about it.
So you're telling me if I found a Fran Tarkenton uni for you,
I'm not saying
just wear it around the house on Sunday, not out in public.
A nice 10,
yeah,
and purple.
Yeah.
I'd almost rather have the white,
okay,
with the purple.
Put that on the list.
Back
burner there. Here we go.
All right, so we got some games tonight. We were talking about the Illinois Iowa State game. That's going to be weird for Illinois. That's a defensive team in Iowa State that can really lock you down. I'll be very curious to see if Illinois can bring it tonight and win that ball game. If they do, I mean, they're for real. We know they're for real. But I think that's the battle. If you ask me about tonight, I could only watch one game. Unfortunately, I think it would be the late game.
Okay.
That's Illinois-Iowa State. Yeah.
I'm mad at it, man. I think you brought up a good point where Illinois is with their offense, and they've been cooking. I mean, they've been averaging almost 90 over their last five games, and we know Shannon can absolutely be a beast along with his other teammates. And this is their first Sweet 16 since 2005. For me, I can't honestly wait to see what, you know, the former Buckeye Jaden Ledee can do against UConn. I know that's a rematch of the Natty last year, but his journey to this point, it's been pretty wild, right? Leaves Ohio State, goes to TCU, doesn't do much there. And even last year wasn't that much of a contributor for the Aztecs. And now here we are with this dude being a third team All-American and cooking up 21 a night. So that matchup is always going to be difficult, no matter who you are going up against UConn with the top end talent and depth that they've had. But I enjoy when guys go through things and come out on the other side and turn themselves into a really good player. And now he's got the ultimate test in front of him. And I can't wait to see how
he handles it. There you go. The adversity guy. Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
So that'll be fun tonight. It's an interesting time on the show because we'll have a lot of hoops today, And certainly we'll bring back Hockey and Hounds today with JD at 2:33. They're in Pittsburgh tonight. But this hour, we'll have Dan Dockich on to talk Sweet 16, talk about the hire at Michigan, and see how he likes it. And then at 1:33, Jameson Battle, the Buckeye sharpshooter all season, probably had his best season in his college career shooting the basketball. Just wanted to get his opinion on the program moving forward. He jumped on a moving train. I'm sure he's kind of made peace with not making the tournament because of the run they had. And at the end, it was almost like their own little mini March Madness. I'm going to see if that, because I'm curious, because when he transferred to Ohio State, his main reason of doing it was finding a place that he could get into March Madness. He had been around, right? That's his second transfer, and it didn't work out. He had an awesome season individually and then put the team on the back a lot of occasions. And I'm almost wondering if that, you know, when Chris Holtmann got fired, that month and a half that he had of that one and done feeling of trying to survive and stay alive and then eventually having to go to the NIT, I wonder where he is with all that. He's such a good dude. Can't wait to have him on the program at 1:33. He'll be, and he's a Vikings guy.
Oh.
So maybe he'll, you know, he's a Minnesota guy. So
get his feel on how excited he is about
maybe. Hey,
Sam
CB,
Darnold.
Get the Viking horn ready. We'll announce his presence with authority at 1:33. All right, we'll shift gears. We'll stay with, like I said, we'll get with Hoops, Dan Dockich at 12:33. But, you know, the Brownies may have a decision to make, and it could come right after the draft. We'll tell you about it next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Jen.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
Anybody monitoring Jerry Judy's IG account? Any follow-ups? I think all's quiet on the Western Front. I haven't heard any backlash. Like I thought, that thing was going to evaporate into the ether. That was going to be kind of a one and done.
Yeah.
Although we live in a screenshot world. So I'm a little surprised that that didn't get some aftermath, even though he hit the delete button on it.
Who knows? Maybe behind the scenes he got a little FaceTime call from Deshaun Watson and say, "What's up, bro?
Yeah,
like what's this
hey,
about?
Let's quiet up the old
come on, man.
Massage jokes." The Browns restructured a deal back in 2022. They converted about $20 million in salary into a signing bonus. And they added a couple voidable years. Now, what does that do? Maddie's going to hate this, but it saved them a lot of money in cap space. There's a guy that is set to make about $20 million with a cap charge of almost $24 this year. His name is Amari Cooper.
Coop.
And he's almost a 30-year-old receiver. However, we know that he was a top five pick, came out of the great program of Bama. The Raiders traded him to the Cowboys for a first rounder. If you want to go all the way back, how many years ago would that have been? 6-7 years ago. He played out that final year of that big contract. I think he got a 5th-year option in Dallas, and he was going to be a UFA. And then he signed, I believe, a massive deal with the Cowboys. So to stay in Big D. And that was, I believe, during pandemic time. And then the Browns said, what, we'll send you a 6th rounder? And they got him. And so this has been a big deal for the Cleveland to get this kind of a talent. And now then to attach Deshaun with him, we know that's kind of a could be a very deadly 1-2 punch. So the question now becomes, Maddie, should the Browns extend Cooper now?
So Andrew Berry, Browns GM, was on 92.3 The Fan up in Cleveland, and he said this, quote, "Coop's a Pro Bowl caliber receiver. He's played really well for us. the past 2 years. He's a strong presence in the locker room. We love him. Players like that, you want to make sure that you can retain as long as possible. So Coop's going to turn 30 this year. And I read the quote from Andrew Berry talking about the last couple of years, and he's absolutely right, because it was career high in touchdown grabs in 2022, and last year it was a career high in receiving yards. So he is doing his part, even with some inconsistencies at quarterback, whether it's Deshaun's play or guys stepping in because Deshaun was out. And we know that they just gave Jerry Jeudy a nice little bag, over $40 million at signing. He's got a lot more money he can make after that. And so what they could do is they could extend him, and they could spread out the money over multiple years, so maybe the cap hits aren't as strong. But to your point, or to your question, is should they do that right now? And I think they should, because what other answers do they have? I don't think you've really seen guys behind them on that depth chart in that wide receiver room emerge that much. David Bell, Tillman, these guys really haven't shown consistencies out there on Sundays to say, okay, we could let Coop walk. We know we have guys behind him that are going to be available for us to ball out right now. And we just watched this all season as well. A guy in Calvin Ridley, who's 29, about to be 30 years old, get 4 for 92 from the Tennessee Titans. So that may be a little bit of a framework there as far as what Amari Cooper could get from Cleveland, or what he would ask for from the front office. I would do it. Would you?
The timing is right to do it for him. It's not great timing for the Browns, because they really don't know exactly what they're going to get out of Deshaun. They hope they get what they paid for, but they're in a real problem right now, because as life as in football, sometimes your best leverage is who the heck would replace you if we got rid of you. And so that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest deterrent in companies for letting people go. It's the biggest deterrent in football for letting guys get away. You have to have a viable replacement if you're going to stay in the competitive football business, which the Browns are right now, because they have so much invested in their quarterback, $230 million, fully guaranteed. I mean, that is hanging over them right now for the next 3 years. And so this is where they stand. And I do think the timing has been really good with Coop, because he has been on a team where he's had to kind of carry other quarterbacks, and he's done it pretty well. So you have to give him the, you know, credit for timing it up pretty well, that he's played with Brissett or Flacco or whatever he's had to do to keep this thing afloat. I feel like they're both kind of having to come to the table here because of his age and what he wants. I'm presuming maybe he wants to stay in Cleveland, but you bring him back on a multi-year deal. Long-term risky, long-term deals for 30-year-old receivers to me are a little risky, but he has certainly not given me any real reason to be that worried. But I think that they have to somehow get together to make this work, because the Browns are not in a great cash situation, but they got to clear. I think they have to clear. I'd have to look at how much money they have to clear moving forward here pretty soon. And I just feel like the timing's right.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have, I mean, Elijah Moore, I mean, he's somewhat accomplished, but
can't rely on him right now.
And Jeudy, we can't completely rely on, even though they paid him like they can rely on him. So really, the only real legitimate proven commodity they have to give this very expensive quarterback a weapon is Amari Cooper.
And probably David Njoku after what he showed too, right, in that tight end room as well. So I think what you want here, what I would want if I were a Browns fan, is you got a guy, as you mentioned, who is about to be 30 years old. And you have Jerry Jeudy, who you gave the money to, and over maybe the next year or two, you hope that Jerry Jeudy emerges as the guy. And if Amari Cooper starts to fade a little bit because of age or whatever it is, and I don't think that's really going to happen. I think Amari Cooper can still ball out at a high clip over the next couple of years. But if that does happen, you better hope that Jerry Jeudy is ready to soak some of that up, because they're going to have a reliable weapon in David Njoku for years to come. I think that dude's going to be an absolute beast for them as long as he's out there on the field. But now it seems a little better to me if they do go down this road of extending Amari Cooper, because at the end of this season, if they don't get this thing done prior to the season or even throughout the year, Amari Cooper is going to become a free agent. He's going to be a hot commodity, I have to imagine, out there on the free agent market, just because of what he can do, and especially when he can still cook up historic games like he did against Houston, where he almost, you know, caught 270 yards worth of balls from Joe Flacco in that game with a couple touchdowns. So I like having starting structure with guys that you know are going to be consistent for you. Mm-hmm. And Amari Cooper is definitely that guy. It's been an absolutely big time steal that Andrew Berry cooked up getting him from Dallas for a fifth or sixth round pick. And he's been one of their rocks. So I would keep it rolling. Wouldn't worry too much about the age just yet, because I still think he's got some good football left in him.
This is great for both in a way, because ideally you want the player to be good and play well, mm-hmm. unless you're just in your mindset, we want to move on from him. And then you're hoping that it's just an easier decision, because if he had not played well or the team had sucked and you wanted to cut or trade him after June 1st, they would have saved massive amounts of money. But now they're in the situation where, okay, this is kind of a win-win. Yeah. You played well. We still think you have a lot of good football left. We're still in the winning mode. We're not in a rebuild. We want to stay competitive in our division. We made a we tried to make a playoff run with an aging backup quarterback. And now that Deshaun's back and presumably healthy, we want to see that click together. I mean, that was the whole idea. Like, they want to see that. Like, that's the thing about what Browns fan is thinking is, when will we finally see the grand plan, which is Deshaun and Amari, really click?
Well, it's on Deshaun.
Yeah.
That's when the grand plan becomes crystallizes, when he rolls out there every week and shows, I can still be that dude. This passing attack has a chance to really stress defenses out this year. If Jerry Jeudy can just focus on the things he needs to focus on, and there won't be any distractions with him having him, because I do think he will be a nice number two to have. And that pairing of Coop with mm-hmm. Jerry Jeudy and Njoku in the middle of the field, like, secondaries are going to have a lot of issues if Deshaun Watson is going to be able to get those balls, the rock, to those guys consistently, man. Because, I mean, we can do a pass-catching duos around the league, and I think the Browns probably would be in the top 10.
Here's the deal. I could be more than willing to say, hey, Amari, I'll give you, how about a two-year contract at 50 mil? Like, does that sound okay? And he might say, no. How about 4 years? Like, meaning I'm getting into my... Like, yeah. I want to guarantee more money. So I think they may have a little bit of work to do as far as years because of his age.
Yes.
Money, I think they can get him to maybe where he wants. It's the years.
He's
the commitment.
He's going to want, at minimum, I think, the Calvin Ridley deal. At minimum. 4 for $92 million.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
And he's been more established over the last couple of years.
The timing is good. Yeah. All right. The timing is good for Dan Dockich. We'll come back and talk to the man next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Unlike your deadbeat uncle, we'll never leave you stranded in a ditch when you were six. This promo may have been a touch too specific.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Golf team name is Ice Dogs. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back into Rothman and Ice. Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and we take it to Indy for the guy who hosts Don't At Me on Outkick and on the Indy Sports Ticket, our guy Double D, Dan Dockich. Welcome back, my man.
Yeah, man, big night tonight. We got all kind of stuff going. Major League Baseball opens up. We got the Sweet 16. Sad about kind of hoping that the Buckeyes would have a trip to Indy here with the NIT, but I think Georgia played its best game of the year, at least when I've seen Georgia. They stunk, and then they played really well the other night.
Yeah, crazy runs. I mean, I thought after Ohio State had the 17-0 run, but Georgia came back-to-back threes, and then how did you feel about the ending? It felt like it was all or nothing. Ohio State was down 10 seconds to go. They tried a pair of threes. I mean, Thornton tried one. They had the ball in the hands of the guys they needed to have it in. And I thought, Double D, we at least got to see for the first time a Jake Diebler draw it up picket fence moment. He got Jameson a look. Did you like the strategy of going for the win kind of both times?
Not really. I mean, you know, when they took it out of bounds, there's a couple seconds. You're trying to get a good shot. You know, that's different. But, you know, there is a theory at home. You go for the tie, you're going to win in overtime. On the road, you go for the win. You know, here's the thing I've always said about those things. I really don't deal in absolutes, and I'll tell you why. You got to look at your team in the eye, and that's a real thing in coaching. Like, you know, this guy's going, so I'm going to give him a three. You know, this guy's not going. I don't like our offense. So I'm guessing, and Jake's been around long enough, he looked at his team, evaluated it, and thought, you know what, our best look is a three. Not the last one, your best look is whatever the hell you can get. But before that, I don't have a problem with it. But the general thought is, look, let's get a two. Let's get this thing tied up. And then we're going to win it in overtime, particularly when you're home, you know. Mm-hmm. But I tell you this, we had to do that in Maui one time. We had to shoot a three down two to Syracuse in championship game. I think it was Syracuse, because we had to catch a flight. If we went to overtime, we were going to miss the flight. So we had to shoot a three. Oh, I don't think that's the same thing, but that we did. We missed a shot and got on the damn plane, and if we didn't, we weren't going to make it to the Notre Dame game. That dog is just losing his mind.
It's all right. Hey, it's opening night.
He's excited for the Sweet 16.
Oh, boy.
Double D, let's stay in the Big Ten, man. Let's stay in the Big Ten. And Michigan, they found their new head coach, Dusty May, coming up from FAU. You liking the fit? What do you think he can accomplish up there in Ann Arbor?
Here's what it's gonna matter. Hey, that dog's not gonna bother you. You can just come on down. He ain't gonna bother. He's gonna bother nothing. He just barks.
What's the dog's name?
Lula. It's my wife's dog. It's just barking because I got guys coming over. But
of course.
I like to hire for Dusty, the money for Dusty. But here's the deal. Everybody tells me that Michigan, they make it hard to get into school on these transfers, and if you're going to make it hard to get into school on these transfers, then you got a problem. I mean, I had people tell me that Terrence Shannon, you know, and Caleb Love both were coming to Michigan, but they couldn't get them into school. And you know what? You can't do that. I mean, back in the day, hey, we're academic, we're not letting you in, we're Michigan, blah, blah, blah. But now with all these transfers, you better be lenient. So, yeah, I mean, it's Michigan, it's a good job, all that kind of stuff. But I would hope, if what I heard was true about the transfers, that that's that policy, man. If they want to football, gets some transfers, but basketball, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, no doubt. Dan Dockett's with us, as he is weekly. Is Purdue now, are they being fairly judged? I mean, they have perhaps the most dominant player in the nation in Zach Edey, and it feels like anything less than a Final Four, people will call this a failure. Where do you stand on it?
I stand on Elite Eight. You get to Elite Eight. A lot of people in Indy love Painter, so they're saying, you know, demons are exercised. And I'm like, that's fine. I don't disagree. But in my world, you got to beat a good team, a really good team. You know, like, let's be honest. Utah State, I thought was going to be all right. But, man, Purdue smoked them. You beat Gonzaga, you know what? I'll be the first one to say, yeah, forget about the past. Purdue's, you know, two Elite Eights in the last 4 or 5 years. I think they lost to Virginia a few years ago. I'm good with that. And besides, I always look down at Purdue. Like, I just look down on them. They're Purdue. I mean, you go to Indiana to be a legend. You go to Purdue because, you know, you breathe on a Petri dish and it showed that you had breath and Millis let you in. So I think Purdue and UConn are the best two teams. But if they get to Elite Eight, lose to Tennessee, what the hell? That's a hell of a year.
All right, Dan, you can only attend one game today. One game. Where are you headed, big dog?
You know where I'm going? I don't even know where they're playing, but I'm going Illinois against Iowa State. I do think, though, that the first one to 100 is going to win, or the first one to 110 is going to win the North Carolina game, because that game, I mean, Alabama got the best-looking athletes that have no interest in guarding nobody. But I think Illinois and Ohio State, I just had a guy that I know likes to gamble ask me, and I go, look, that's the game I can't tell you. Because I like both teams. I think Illinois offensively. I think Iowa State. When Iowa State beat or lost to, actually, Houston, at Houston, I watched that game, and I thought Iowa State were some bad boys, man. I did. They were getting bad calls. Houston's throwing and everything. Jamal Said is like the greatest point guard. I love that kid. But I don't know where to go with this game. I think San Diego State's going to cover the 11. I think UConn at some point, UConn is going to play a nail biter. You cannot go through two NCAA tournaments beating teams in the Sweet 16 by 10, 20 points consistently. It can't happen. I think San Diego State's going to play the brakes off. I think they're going to lose. I don't think this is going to be 20. I think this is going to be like 10, 8, 9, something like that. Okay. I think we got great games today.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, really, there's Cinderella. There's only one left, right, in NC State, technically. But it's
Hey, can I say something about them?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the two smartest players that I have seen in college basketball, and they're not getting any credit for them, and I don't know why, is this Burns kid, the big kid from North Carolina State, and Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson is like I don't care whether people think he's fat, skinny, whatever. He's the smartest basketball player I think I've seen in college. And this kid, Burns, he's the same thing. I was talking to Greg Campy at Oakland, and he's like, Dan, the dude goes to his right shoulder only. Our players knew it, but we couldn't stop it because he knows how to get there, and he knows and always makes the right pass. And I'm anxious to see. This is a hell of a run by North Carolina State. But if you watch it tonight, I love this kid, Burns. He is so smart. I get it. He's big, and everybody talks about that. That's fine. But the dude just makes the right play every freaking time, just like Zion Williamson did. I'm telling you, we always talk about smart point guards, you know, all this stuff. Them two guys, damn, are they smart. This Burns guy's good.
Hey, quickly, if you're Caitlin Clark and you decide to do this 3-on-3 against the men, I mean, first of all, how would you think she would do? Would she have to just Steph Curry that thing and just launch from 30 all the time? Can she actually get buckets in 3-on-3 against men? I'm not denying if she wants to take $5 million, that's fine. If that's a real deal, I don't know, but... And then the other thing is, would the Indiana Fever, presumably drafting her number one, want her to risk this or play in it? And could she do both? What's your feeling on this?
My feeling is the Fever don't want her to do it. There's no reason for her to do it. She's going to make $5 million plus. She's already signed a deal here in Indianapolis with Gainbridge, which is the field house game where she's going to play, is named after. I don't think she's – I think she'd get her ass kicked. Mm-hmm. I mean, you tell me some guy – you know, I think Joe Johnson playing whoever, but you telling me guys are just going to back off and get embarrassed on national TV? No, I wouldn't. She should not do that. She, you know, Billie Jean King was smart. She played Bobby Riggs in the 70s, and the dude was like 50 years old. Like, you know, no. Would you do it? I would tell her not to do it. You're going to make $5 million. Now, Portnoy's deal, where I saw Dave Portnoy of Barstool said, hey, I'll give him $10 million. Now, $10 million is different. $10 million, damn, man, I tell you what. I know $5 million is a lot, but she can make that up. $10 million?
Yeah.
I don't give a damn if I get my ass whooped. I'm playing basketball.
Who is the coach you said, go play intramurals, man, like that? Yeah. If she wants to play intramurals for $10 million, I think that'd be worth it. All right, enjoy opening day. Enjoy the Sweet 16, my man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me. See you. Bye-bye.
You got it. Double D, Dan Dockich on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. All right, we'll come back. NFL traditions, they seem to be for sale, but this one may be modernizing the tradition. How do we feel about it? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
If you've recently seen a photo of an older Baker Mayfield fresh off a bender, it's just Bo Bishop. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best bet on the radio. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right. Remember when we did the NFLPA grades and a lot of the teams got like Fs in how they treat family and whatever and all that? The Bengals, you know, got trashed by their own players and all that and family. Treatment of families, F minus.
Come on, man.
F minus. Food cafeteria, F minus.
Were they feeding them Lunchables down there?
I mean, those are big.
Hot Pockets?
That'd probably be an upgrade.
I didn't mind a little Lunchable.
By the way, yesterday, I did it. I got the Cheez-It Grooves. I'm back on the groove train, man. We're grooving.
How'd that
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't cracked them open yet.
Oh, the Sweet 16 tonight?
We probably so. The Parmesan, oh, the yeah. white.
That's going to be a win.
The combo platter.
The whole box better be gone tonight.
Why the whole box?
Because you got until about midnight. Until basketball's
I was
over.
Barbecued flavored potato chips about 10:30 last night, and I realized, come on.
Masterpiece Barbecue?
That's going against doctor's orders.
You a Grippos guy? You ever like Grippos?
We've talked about Grippos.
They're amazing.
Because the Jackets jumped in on the Grippos train. Goodness. I know you're a big Grippo guy.
Oh, my goodness. The day after Thanksgiving, you get that leftover turkey, and then you fire up a turkey sandwich, maybe a little panini press that sandwich with a little Grippos on the side. Yeah, that'll get you right.
I think I liked barbecue-flavored potato chips much more when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I don't know. And I can have barbecue on anything, sauce. But for some reason, and it's not like the dusting you get on your fingers. It's not that. Mm. It's just that, I don't know, maybe it's just too much.
Okay, not
but they
for
do have, I will check out the box tonight and give you a grade on that.
Oh, yeah,
it won't be an F minus.
Those will be good. Is it the family size box?
I don't think the grooves come in family size.
Because if it's not family size, then I'm willing to bet that that box will be cleaned out.
It's the white cheddar grooves.
Yeah, that'll be a good time.
And I do believe it's the combo platter.
Get your groove on tonight, big guy.
I am going to get my groove on tonight, Sweet 16 style. So I was seeing that the Bengals executive VP, Katie Blackburn, dropped a basically like, hey, everyone should be open to feedback and all that. Hopefully it makes things better in the future. I thought it was a good answer. Didn't lean into the big follow-ups, which would be, well, why do you think they gave you an F minus? Is this just like where does this come from? Is it just employee envy against the boss kind of stuff? Like, cause you know, you can have people that complain about everything, but the NFLPA isn't going to stop sending these grades out because they know it might get their owner.
Shake the room a little bit.
Make change. Change. It's your, yeah, I mean, that's a weird thing.
Yep.
Like in Moneyball, he's like, hey, why does Billy make us pay for soda? Billy likes to keep all the money on the field. Soda money? It's tough to see. Maybe that's what Katie should have said.
Oh, man.
Mike likes to keep all the money on the field. Mm. Hot pocket money? Yeah. NFL kickoff is changing. It's a radical deal. When you see the video, you're like, wow. This might be fun. Normally I would be like, okay, this is ridiculous. Why does the NFL have to be the XFL? Why do they have to do this? Well, number one, it feeds into if we want to keep it around, we better do something. Honestly, I think the NFL kickoff was hanging by a thread because of injuries and all that. And I think that's real. Now, whether you want to debate whether owners truly care, you know why the owners care about injuries? Because it affects their players. And their product. I'm not saying they're completely heartless. I'm saying that that's the price of doing business. You need your product to be on the field. Now, we're not dealing with the quarterback out there or the star receiver, but I think it helps them lean into safety and also keep something with the tradition of kicking the football off and not just starting at a yard line. So if you guys haven't seen this, it's worth looking up. It's a wild time. The kicking team is still going to boot it from the 35-yard line, but the rundown team is going to already be at the opponent's 40.
So it says...
And nobody can move. It's basically a sack fly.
That's what I was going to read.
I call it the tag-up kickoff.
Other than the kicker and returners, no players may move until the ball either touches the ground or is fielded by the returner. Another piece of this AR is a kick that either goes out of bounds or lands short of the 20 will be awarded to the receiving team at the 40-yard line. A kick that goes into the end zone for a touchback will go out to the receiving team's 30-yard line. So it's always been a nice little penalty there if you kick the ball out of bounds. But my goodness, you kick it out of bounds, you get almost get it at midfield. It does look funky, but you nailed it off the top what this is about. It's about player safety. And kick returns have always been entertaining. We don't see a ton of them. We really don't see a ton of kick returns back to the crib. But I just think this is a new look that's going to take some time for us to adjust to. And also, you read what's really going on here, and this is a one-year test drive, and they're going to vote on this again at the end of the year. So this may be for one lap around the track, and then after that, they may do away with it. I think it's going to stick because they can keep kind of a tradition, if you will, of the sport alive by also keeping guys out there on the field.
Well, here's the why I like it, and here's why football players should like it. It's a job keeper.
There you go.
If you get rid of this, jobs are going to go. And I, you know what? I'm all for these guys continuing their careers. And we just put a return man in the Hall of Fame in Devin Hester. And so,
rightfully so.
I feel like getting into the Hall as a return man is over now. It's over.
Unless you're just absolutely going crazy.
Well, I don't know how a team starting at my own 35 or whatever it is, when I'm fielding the ball at my own 5. In fact, right now, so that's a 30-yard head start, not double that. So I feel like if I field the ball at the 5 and that other team can't move, but they're starting at my 35, my math is okay. That's a 30-yard gap between me and them, and I got the skirmish line of my own guys blocking 5 yards ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it creates a little bit of a chance. You just can't get up to ramming speed.
Yeah.
That's what this is about.
Also not surprising either that the Pittsburgh Steelers shortly after this went out and signed Cordarrelle Patterson, who's the all-time leader in that category for taking kicks back to the crib. So, and look, tomorrow we're going to have Dean Blandino on. Dean Blandino, former ref. We had him on in Vegas.
Our radio row buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to hop on to, you know, really dive into this and some other tweaks that have been made with the new tackling rules and all that tomorrow. So looking forward to that conversation. But yeah, it's going to be a new look this year and I'm kind of here for it.
My initial instinct was weird. It was the opposite. It was like, you know what? If this keeps it around, because like I said earlier, I think it was hanging by a thread. We keep it, but you don't have ramming speed.
Yeah.
Daniel Simpson Day has no grade point average. All courses incomplete. Free lunch on the table right there, boys. CB, I know. It's an oldie, but a goodie. Crickets. Nothing? No answer. You're not even going to say no answer. You're just going to shake your head. You're going to go silent. The silent treatment.
MIMO. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea what that is. You always set us up for failure anyway with those.
I don't mean to. It's my own. It's
can we get movies that like from 2010 on? Like
I'll work on that.
We're talking 1980s and 90s with some of these. CB and I weren't even here. If we were, we were sipping Capri Suns.
Here's the only reason I say it is because classics tend to transcend time.
Do they?
But you're right. Well, they should. It was Animal House, if you were asking or even curious. All right, we'll come back. And will the coaching hot seat actually start now? It seems like one coach is already stiff-arming against it. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
The sound of Paul Keel's calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh.
Their cholesterol numbers put all other fan hosts to shame. You are listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, second hour of the program. First basketball game, 7:09 prime time. We'll go all the way up to the final tip at 10:09. They want these games in prime time, man. They want them all over the country as best they can. So the late game will actually tip at 7:09 West Coast style. And this is
prime
what we're
bedtime.
Used to. Well, yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know what to tell you on that. This is the way of the world in sports. I mean, they're paying enough for this, for these games, and they don't want to throw them out at... I mean, we have enough, I guess, in the last week. You know, you get them from noon all the way to midnight. Baseball, of course, will wait today and go at 410. And so, you know, is that a little odd? Maybe, but it's baseball. They got 162 of these. Sweet 16 is one and done. So I get why. And then, I don't know, maybe if you were a kid and you had a noon game today, you take off school and go to a game, mm-hmm. possibly. But this does allow the kids to go to school in Cincinnati and go to the game if they want.
Hopefully your parents are cool enough to say, you know what, you just stay home.
Man, it's a holiday in Cincinnati, there, so maybe they maybe everybody looks the other way anyway.
Yeah, I'm here for it, man. I love this. This is one of those days to where, you know, I'll be that last button's going to get wore out today at my house. That's for sure, because obviously I'll be tapped into all these Sweet 16 games, but I got to see what my boys are about to do down at GABP.
I love the fact that they start in March and they've got to postpone games right out of the gate.
Well, you know, East Coast. This is why I think everybody in football and baseball should have retractable roofs. Everybody. You have your option of opening it or mm-hmm. closing it. I don't see the problem.
Money.
At all.
Pay for that.
There's plenty of money in those leagues. I think they could find a way to make that happen.
Who's going to pay for the stadium?
But I think every NFL team and every baseball team should have a retractable roof. That way we can just avoid all
this. It would be great. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be nice, but... Like I said, if the owners have to pay for it, or the cities have to pay for it, or the taxpayers have to pay for it, then that's where the problem comes in. Unless you're saying MLB should just build all the stadiums.
They got the money.
Yeah, less for the players then, maybe.
Not my problem.
Well, it'd be their problem. The players might not like it.
I don't care about that.
But what if the players...
Play the games.
Well, yeah. Well, now you're... Yeah. Pro owner. Pro league. Matty Hayes.
Retractable roofs all day long, man. Let's get it going.
There is a coach on the hot seat right now, and we're only in March, and I'm talking NFL. And the guy in the hot seat is definitely Mike McCarthy. It was odd. I said it early when Belichick became available. It felt like that was going to be tailor-made. And maybe Jerry didn't want to give up his, I don't know, legendary status. Maybe to give it to a head coach is always tough. I remember back in the day when Ditka ran Chicago, it probably didn't feel right. It felt right to the fans at that point, but... And not that Belichick is Ditka, but I feel like this is kind of weird coming off Dallas's implosion in the playoffs. Like, if Dallas were made a deep playoff run, then fine. But the fact they were at home against a young, inexperienced team, all of his guys were healthy, and they got hammered, and they gave up almost 50 points, and the coach stays in Dallas... Of all places, it shocked me.
Especially when you have Mike Vrabel and Bill Belichick available the following offseason. So now here we are, and Mike McCarthy is coming into a year to where he's got 1 year left on the deal. And he did this in Green Bay, but he's doing it again this season. And I think this is a smart call by Jerry Jones to not commit to him long term. You and I were surprised at the quick commitment back to Mike McCarthy when kind of the offseason opened up, where Jerry Jones, it felt like it didn't even take a couple weeks for them to say, no, he's our guy. But Mike McCarthy has addressed this. And he said, quote, I don't see it as more pressure. I think it's just the reality of our industry. That's what it is. Those are business decisions. And those are really personal, frankly, because we are subcontractors when it comes to the financial component of it. To me, this whole situation screams Bill Belichick. The whole thing screams Bill Belichick. And if Mike McCarthy doesn't get them to an NFC title game, I think he's out of there. Mm-hmm. And I think Jerry Jones is going to do whatever it takes to get Bill Belichick roaming the sidelines down in Dallas. Because it seems to me also that they probably need a guy like Bill Belichick down there. I know when you and I talked about this initially, I was a little concerned about kind of the egos there with Jerry and Bill Belichick. And especially because Bill has done roster construction for years in New England, and Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, they do that in Dallas. So how does that work itself out? But as far as what they need, I think in that locker room, there's been a lot of stuff with Dallas this offseason and over the last couple seasons when it comes to the players. And I think we all know how Bill runs his ship. He would get those things in order. And when you have that guy that can bring in that discipline with the high-end talent that Dallas has, maybe that will get them in a better situation. But yeah, I think it's NFC title or bust for Mike McCarthy.
Should be. I can't. Listen to the NFL. I'm not going to throw a parade for a guy who's won 36 games over the last three seasons. That's fine. It's great. They were a top three seed in the playoffs in two of those 3 years. It's three playoff losses during a stretch have been by 6, 7, and 16. The situation is not good because that's not a team that judges themselves on winning divisions or making playoffs. It isn't.
And should they just, be.
That should be their expectation now.
Their expectation, but as far as inside the building judging themselves, I don't think that they do that.
They're not being real with their track record over the last 20 plus years. They're not. They have not done anything significant in almost 30 years. That's where we're at with Dallas. And I get it.
It was one bad call on the Dez Packers deal or whatever.
I get the history.
2010 or whatever.
We can never take that away from them, right? And Emmett and Troy and the playmaker. I understand that. But it's been almost 30 years since they made it to an NFC mm-hmm. title game.
Yep.
And so I think their expectations should be a little bit lower, but with Jerry and how he operates, because he obviously was the owner during that time, he probably believes that's where they should be year in and year out, but they haven't done it in decades.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's why I'm stunned they didn't make the change. And yeah. I don't think they have years to just throw away. He likes Mike, obviously, or he wouldn't keep him. And if the team is close and they just don't want to judge it on a one-off, but it really isn't a one-off, it's been several years now of failure in the playoffs. No one is going to crush them for losing the year before against the 49ers because the 49ers were good. It was the way the team shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it. I don't know. Mike McCarthy's our head coach. That's fine. He can say it all he wants. But if he – I would ask Jerry, where's the progress?
Yeah.
Where are you seeing progress? The action of it. Like, I don't care what he says or how nice of a guy he is or if the players like him or you think they're close. We're results. And if they're the best team in the NFC again or whatever they're going to be, it won't matter until they turn the corner. Now, the question becomes, is he the hottest seat guy in the NFL?
Ooh.
It feels like he is.
Big Mike for you?
I mean, I'm trying to think. I will tell you this. I think Sirianni has to bounce back. I think he was kind of like that needs to bounce back. That needs to be, that can't be a, well, it just happened kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Because I think there could be an issue there. The other guy I would think of would be, where do you stand on the Bills now in McDermott? Like,
I mean, it does kind of feel like they might be at that point of like running into the same brick wall with this guy again, yeah. Right? Obviously, we know that Josh Allen's not going anywhere, but because there was a little off the field stuff with Diggs and McDermott and that whole situation prior to the season kicking off, and how well of a handle does he have on the locker room? I could see, like, but I think for him to get bounced there, he would have to be like not making the playoffs.
Yeah, it's Mahomes. It's the Mahomes factor that's tough. Like, they're getting a little bit of a break because you're running into that brick wall that you're talking about of not being able to get over on them, and nobody would really shame them completely for that.
I'll tell you whose booty is probably sizzling a little bit, and that is Matt Eberflus. If Matt Eberflus doesn't have things in order this year, and I'm not saying that the Bears need to win 9-10 games or whatever it is, but Ryan Poles has put pressure on Matt Eberflus to roll out a good product this year because of the moves he made, bringing in Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift. This is a situation like in Carolina where we looked at their roster prior to the season and said, okay, there's probably going to be some struggles there when you have guys like, you know, Adam Thielen as your number one around a young guy like Bryce Young. It's the complete opposite up in Chicago. And if I'm Ryan Poles, I'm looking at Matt Eberflus, who over the last year or two, you know, it's been just okay at best as the Bears head coach. He's got to go this year, in my opinion. So I'm looking at Matt Eberflus. Yeah.
I also feel like, and it's weird to put it on this team because they just haven't had much success, but I think if Rodgers stays healthy and they don't do anything with him, I think the guy that could feel that, the collateral damage, would be the head coach in Robert Saleh. He's been there enough. Yeah, absolutely. You give him this year for sure when A-Rodge suffers the torn Achilles. But I think if he stays healthy and they don't make at least some kind of a move to make you feel like there's hope. And remember when Dalvin signed with you guys and he's like, hey, John Harbaugh, I love playing for a coach like that, or I'll go all out for him.
Yep.
Like, that was weird. That was a little side eye.
I think this is a good call out of you. I think this is a very good call because when you go all in and you commit to Aaron Rodgers the way that they have and some other moves that they made on the offensive line, bringing in Mike Williams, it does shine a light back on him. It really does. And for me, another one, it's always going to be Kyle Shanahan. Like, and I know he's been good, really good. But do you start asking yourself as John Lynch, is he the guy to get us to the ultimate goal? Because they've been knocking on that door for years now. His seat to me isn't super hot, but I'm just curious how many times they feel like they're going to run it back with him with this roster without winning the Super Bowl.
That feels like change for change's sake if that happens, because everybody knows he's a pretty quality head coach.
Yeah.
But you're right. There was a lot of pressure on him to get it done. He almost did. He was 1/4 down away from getting it done, and that's the fine line in careers, right?
Tough.
Because
that's like kind of to me like the coaching version of Dak. Because Dak, you can look at and say, great numbers, win a lot of games, yada, yada, yada. But is he the guy that's going to push us through the entire playoff run? And so for Kyle Shanahan, I think he's all right, but I'm just curious how many times, you know, the ownership group will say, we want to run it back with him. Because they've had these loaded rosters. They are.
You keep making NFC title games, though. You make a Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. Like I said, I don't think it's crazy hot, but his name popped up in my brain as a guy that maybe is feeling a little bit of pressure.
You know, if McCarthy is one and done, then that means that Dallas will have failed, and how they fail, who knows? But it also may mean that the quarterback didn't quite bring it again. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, as we come back from the next break, if this is Dak's last go-around in Dallas, where would he go after that? We'll talk about it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Here's a listener tweet. Can I tase Common Man in the nuts? Fine by us, but he may like it. Common Man and Tebow.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, I kind of like this for the Cowboys. I know Maddie is on the other side of this because of the risk factor. Dak playing out his contract. And what would happen if he did? So this is the pivot point, right? It's the pivot point for the head coach. And I hate to say it's probably the pivot point for the quarterback. It just, we're just at a weird spot. They cannot give him $60 million a year. This is not a, there's no reward. You'd be just throwing more good money. And I'm not saying after bad. I'm just saying, like, when you get to the point where you feel like he hasn't earned it, he's played great in the regular season, and maybe that's the answer. Like, he's really good enough where you have to just keep hoping. But I'll tell you.
Is it the number or Dak himself? Is it because if it's 50 a year, you're like, all right, let's run it back. Or are you just out on Dak?
It's got to be somewhere within a reasonable. No, I'm not completely out on Dak.
Okay.
Not completely. But the actions speak. He just doesn't bring it in the playoffs. So what is it? Is it his team? Is it him? Is it the coach? Is it everybody?
Well, their defense got their teeth kicked in by Jordan Love. Well,
they gave up 48.
That's like their defense got their teeth
kicked. And their running game was garbage.
Yeah. So
for a lot of the season.
I don't want to put everything on Dak last year because Michael Parsons and company did not.
What about the year before?
I hear you. I absolutely hear you on that. That was not great. He did win a playoff game before that game you're talking about. That was ugly, so I have to give him that as well. Wasn't all bad, but the last thing we saw from him a couple years ago was not good. Dallas is in an interesting spot. We just got done talking about Mike McCarthy being on the last year of his deal. They also, right now, on their desk, they have situations to deal with whether or not you're going to pay CeeDee Lamb north of $30 million after Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson get their bag. Michael Parsons is up for an extension. Yeah. So they got a lot to figure out right here. I would be willing to roll with you on this Dak thing if you had a proposal for me where there's a good plan. I have not heard anybody come up with a good plan as far as what they're going to do in 2025 at the most important position if it isn't Dak Prescott. Like, what do you do?
Well, if he has a bad year, it might be easy to keep him at a lesser rate. I don't know. Or you might want to move on from him. If he has a great year, you're either going to sign him to the big money or out of spite would want to leave.
But AR, who are you who's playing quarterback for them next year if it's not Dak?
I don't worry about that right now.
Oh, well, see, you have to, big dog. Like, you can't let this guy go who has been very productive and not have a plan.
Well, it's difficult to have a plan other than the draft. And like you said, will they be bad enough to have a good draft pick? Probably not.
And so that's why I think he controls this. And they're stuck. Because, like, I just, the options are not, there's not a guy that's either going to be as good as him or better than him that you're going to be able to get next year. There's just not.
It's the great conundrum. I understand it. And if he's open about the contract extension and he doesn't crack him over the head, then maybe there's something there that can be done. But I'm going on what the Cowboys think about why did they get Trey Lance? Like, why'd they get him?
That can't
to back
be
him
the
up?
Move.
I'm not saying it is the move, but it might be the only option right now.
That ain't it for me. I have
to give
you
a quote from Jerry.
What's he talking about?
Through the Dallas Morning News. Arrow is really up on Trey Lance. Okay. Now, this could be all just playing this out in the media to keep the pressure on Dak. He's exceeded expectations as a person, as a worker. Now, who's their backup? Cooper Rush still? All right. So he's got to win that job. He's got to beat out Cooper for me to even think, right?
That's not even, like, to me, this isn't even realistic. Like,
well, he hasn't Trey had Lance really much of the opportunity since he's been injured, so we don't know what he'd be. He was a former number three overall.
We've seen a lot of guys get drafted.
I know.
That doesn't matter.
But you think he has talent?
If I'm a Cowboy fan, I do not want to go from Dak Prescott to Trey Lance. That's just not
then
it.
What does Cowboy fan want? Keep just imploding in the playoffs?
This is you're better off, to me, rolling with a guy like Dak than going into the world of unknown and hoping that Trey Lance will give you something. That's just where I'm at. I have a proposal for you. What if your team and the Dallas Cowboys did business right now? What would you be willing to give? I know you don't love Dak, but you guys have a couple first-round picks this year. And if Dallas is in this mindset of getting off of Dak now, they could get some return, maybe a first-round pick, a couple seconds, whatever it may be. Would you want to sign up for that as a Minnesota Viking fan? That way, you don't have to hope that you can get up high enough to get J.J. McCarthy or Jaden Daniels or Drake May or whoever. You know for a fact that Dak is better than all those guys right now, at least. Would you be willing to do business with Dallas to get Dak up into a Minnesota Viking uniform?
No, not now. I'd rather try to get him in free agency off of whatever year and see how he does this year.
Well, the price is still going to be at minimum $50 million a year.
I want to see him finally do it.
I would make that move if I were you guys.
Well, he's not old. He's 30. He had a great year throwing the football outside of the playoffs. And we have a ton of cap space.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I bet you Justin Jefferson would be on board with that.
Yeah. And like I said before, and I'll be honest, you know, you got to stay in the competitive business at some point. Where would Dak go?
If he walks next year or walks the next offseason, like, if I'm Mike Tomlin, let's go.
Well, then you're making the assumption that Fields doesn't get on the field.
Yeah.
Russell's okay, no future there, and then Fields gets passed over.
Both those guys are essentially one-year deals. Russ, you're not paying him anything. Justin Fields, I think we're all at a point now where they're not going to pick up the fifth-year option. That, for me, would be the all-in move. Mike Tomlin going to get Dak Prescott and get him in a Steeler uniform. If the Cowboys are going to let him hit free agency, which it seems like that's where we're headed.
It feels like two very established coaches with no real future answer at quarterback, to me, ring true. Pittsburgh and Denver. Sean Payton or Mike Tomlin would be interested in having an established guy like Dak and building around him.
Mm-hmm.
If they believe they could be the answer to tap into what's going on with the playoff problem. And that comes back to the coach.
Yeah.
And maybe the coach does matter.
Yeah, it does matter. I just thought about your team because yesterday we reacted to Mike Tannenbaum's trade that he cooked up, sending Kyler Murray to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, well, why wouldn't if Dallas is willing to let him walk, why? If you're Jerry Jones, get something for him. Don't let him just walk in free agency and get nothing and hope that Trey Lance
to play out his final year. Yeah,
call the Vikings and see if they want to get
that. Might be happening
in business with
him. Yeah,
because then you're talking about
Dak, we have at least the ammunition to get in position to draft one of these higher end quarterbacks, we think.
But I want the established talent. I'd want Dak.
Yeah, but you're also buying that established talent at massive amounts of money.
Which is fine. And I want to pair him with Justin Jefferson, Jordan
Addison.
And continue
the long history of the Vikings not winning Super Bowls. That's what you want.
You may be able to push through. You never know. But, yeah, that sounds like a better plan than hoping that, you know, Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy is going to turn out to be something. Just because they're cheaper. I don't care about that. Give me the dime.
Well, we are trying to build a team. We can't just give a guy $60 million and hope.
You'll be able to build a team with him.
Nice. I like hearing that, Matty. All right. There is a Viking that's at least a Viking fan that's going to come on the show next. I'm almost positive he is. Jameson Battle helped the Buckeyes stay alive, and his time at Ohio State is done, but he will jump on next to talk about the future with us. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
We're known for three things: games, conversation, and common man yelling about things only he cares about. The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The perfect ratio of sports talk, dogs, pro wrestling, and gambling advice.
It's science.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, he either gets the Buckeye battle cry or the Gjallarhorn from the Vikes, whichever one he prefers. He's the sharpshooter, there you go, from Ohio State, originally out of Mini. And I got to tell you, I think the best shooting season of his career. He will confirm that for us. He is the Buckeye Jameson Battle. Jameson, great to have you on the program.
No, I appreciate you guys. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. I was talking to Maddie about this earlier in the show, and we were very excited to have you on. And I remember, you know, when you picked Ohio State, a lot went into that. You were really wanted here. Coach wanted you here. This team was ready to kind of make a move. And then what happens happened. And I wanted to ask you this. Are you, I know the dust is kind of still there. Maybe it's settled for you. Have you made peace with the way this ended? Did the run you had over the last 6 weeks help alleviate not hitting that goal you wanted of making runs in the big dance?
Yeah, I think it did. And I just think from February 14th on, that game against Purdue and then onwards, it was just a completely different team. And just the season finished out of how we expected the season to finish out and just what we did and to face adversity, to battle through adversity. And just to make that run we did, beating good teams and showing who we really were. And in the end, where I look at it is just we ran out of time. So, of course, I'm at peace with it. You know, I've been in college for 5 years, and, you know, I say this all the time, but this, not even this season, but this last stretch of 10, 11 games was the most fun I've had in college. And with that, you know, how can I be angry or how can I be mad about how things went? You know, I'm more thankful. I'm just so grateful. Because of the people I met and the chemistry that we had as a team and just the overall collective that we had to go out there where our head coach was fired and to finish the season as well as we did.
Let's go back to that moment, Jameson, the shift from Coach Holtman to Coach Diebler, and the production really turned around in a positive way for you guys. Maybe a reason or two from your perspective why you guys were able to turn the corner and go out there and ball out.
Yeah, I think it has to do with just the mentality of the team, understanding that, you know, you're always going to face adversity. There's going to be adversity in everything you do, but it's just how you respond. And I think that was the biggest thing that we looked at is what is our response going to be? Are we going to fold or are we just going to continue to play and continue to work every day and to get better and to show what we really can do? And I think from that moment on, we really did that. And then obviously you got a guy like Coach Diebler. I mean, I say this, I know I've said it a few times in my press conferences, but whatever a head coach has to have, I mean, he's got it. He's young. He has relationships with all of us. He's someone who's around us and gets it. And I think with that, when you have a coach like that, it's easy to play for that. And I think we all bought into that, and we bought into the idea that we're a family, and no matter what we're going to do, we're always going to be a family. You're always going to be a part of Buckeye Nation. But for us, we knew that we weren't satisfied with where we were in that point in the season. And we were like, why not? Like, why can't we go out here and make a run? So we ended up, you know, doing as much as we could. Obviously, the game against Illinois, it was a tough one to swallow, but you know, we were all happy with what we did to finish that season and to show that through adversity, we have great character.
No doubt about it. Jameson battled, put this team on his back a lot of the times. And listen, you got a great look against Georgia. So confirm that. So was the play drawn up for you? And then the previous one, I think Bruce had a pretty good look, but from the sounds of it, maybe you guys weren't going to try for a three there. Maybe you try to tie it. But take us through that last, you know, 15, 20 seconds of the Georgia game and what the strategy was. And were you happy with the look you got?
Yeah, no, I was for sure happy. That was the coach, the play coach drew up. And basically, we had the three stacks. I think Bruce ran to the corner. And I think I ran down in the middle of the lane. Felix came down, set a screen, coming off the curl. Roddy found me. And it was the look we wanted. You know, I think we all agreed that, you know, we're going for the win. We're not playing to tie the game because we want to go out here and win the game. And we got the look. It felt good off the hands, but then it was just short off the rim. And kind of hit me in that moment that my college career was over, but I was just so grateful and so thankful that I was able to spend 5 years in college. I was able to play at Ohio State and be embraced by the city of Columbus. I was able to play at home in Minnesota for 2 years, and then being in the A-10 for 2 years, seeing a team like Dayton, seeing different teams, and just getting the whole experience. Obviously, I didn't make March Madness, and I think that'll sit with me, but in the end, I have no regrets with my college career, and it's kind of just, I'm sad it's over, but I know that there's a next step for me, and you know, the ball is going to keep bouncing until, you know, it doesn't anymore, so...
It's awesome. That's awesome. Your skill set's incredible on the offensive end, man. Obviously, defenses are terrified when you get the rock out there on the perimeter. You've shown, hey, I can put it on the floor and I can dunk on people if I need to as well. But when it comes to specifically the shooting aspect of your game, who are guys that you studied or still study to this point now as far as guys that you want to emulate just a little bit out there on the floor?
Yeah, I think Klay Thompson is the number one for me. I'm a big Warriors fan. I love their system. I love the way they play. So I've always been watching him just because of what he does and how efficient he does things. I think I'm someone who doesn't need to take a lot of dribbles when I have the ball. And I look at Klay Thompson with that. You know, he's not taking more than 2 to 3 dribbles. I know what he scored 60 points, maybe taking 11 dribbles, something like that. He's a guy I look at. I look at Bogdanovich, who was just traded to the Knicks. I think that's another one that people don't really see. Ingles is another guy that I really like to watch. There's just a bunch of guys who can create their own shots, but also play off of others. And I think that's what I've done so well in my college career is play off of others and find looks. And being, you know, I've been so fortunate with the point guard play I've had in college, whether it was Armel Potter, Jameer Nelson, and James Bishop at George Washington, and then having someone like Peyton Willis at Minnesota for a year, and then Talon Cooper, who was at South Carolina this year. And then even in high school, you know, obviously I had Tyrell Terry, who was in the NBA. So I've been blessed. And then you get a guy like Bruce Thornton, you get guys like Roddy Gale, who can create shots for others. And, you know, that just helps me tremendously. And I think with that, you know, being in the right system, being in the right teams, I think I found that here at Ohio State just because of the number of guys we had. And it opens everything up for, you know, the team, whether it's Felix ducking in on a roll, and that opens something up for me, or maybe I high shake and Felix is open on his roll because they're committed to me. So it's just a lot of stuff like that. But, you know, I've been really blessed with the people I've played with in the point guard play. You know, I've been very fortunate with that.
Source tells me that you're going to be bouncing that ball pretty soon. Are you going out to Phoenix next week to participate in a little 3-point contest?
Oh yeah. Yep. So I'm going to do the 3-point contest out there. And then I think, it's not confirmed yet, but I think I'm doing the Reese's All-Star game, the senior game as well on that Friday, I want to say. So I'm excited. You know, it's just an opportunity to keep playing and also get a chance to play. You know, I think the 3-point contest is at GCU and then playing the big stadium for the All-Star game, which is super exciting. And it's an unbelievable opportunity.
So you guys knocked off Purdue, and here they are in the Sweet 16. Take us inside that game a little bit and what it takes to, you know, take down the big guy and all the talent around him. They get Gonzaga tomorrow night, but just what it's like going up against Zach Edey and what you think teams need to do to maybe bounce Purdue out of here.
Yeah, I think it really depends. Obviously, Zach Edey is going to get his 20 and 15 every night, right? You're going to have that, but it depends on, you know, shooting from them and then shooting from the team who's playing them. I think we shot the ball really well that day. We were honed in defensively. I mean, Zed made some unbelievable defensive plays on Edey. And then we were just locked in. I think it was a mentality that we had that, yeah, they're the number two, they're the number three team in the country, but there's no reason why we don't believe we can't win this game. It's a home game, and it's an opportunity for us to go out and show who we are and what we're capable of, and I think we did that. But I think when you look at it, to beat Purdue. Edie, you just have to, you know, stop the other guys, right? Edie's going to get his, like I said, but if they're not making shots and they're not hitting threes, you know, that's a recipe for success. And then on the other side, you know, you have to be on your best game. You know, you have to be making shots. You have to be hitting shots. You have to be shooting it well. And you have to be taking it to Edie and not just letting him dictate the game.
The run you guys had was incredible. It felt like a March Madness run. Obviously, you didn't get there. But you mentioned earlier about Jake and the program and how you feel it's in such good hands. He was kind of an underdog to do this. He did it because you guys helped him do it, right? I mean, if you don't beat Purdue, you don't get the buzzer beater against Michigan State. I'm not saying they would put it all on wins, Jameson. Maybe Ross Bjork would have always come back to Jake regardless, but you can't ignore what you guys did. Give me a little bit of the edge that he has, even in comparison to Chris Holtmann and what you guys had with him. Like, what are those specific things that you feel like this program really made a great move here?
Yeah, I think it's like you said, the edge that Coach Diebler has and what he coaches with, just the energy that he brings, and then just how he wants everyone to be successful and how he's going to put you in that position to be successful. And, you know, he doesn't want guys shying away from shots that they take. He wants you to play your game, and he's going to help you, you know, fit that puzzle in so everyone's playing their game and you're being successful at the highest level. And I think that's what he did, and that's what he kind of introduced to us, and that instilling confidence in everybody and making sure that, you know, there's a time where maybe I didn't take a shot that I should have, and he's telling me, hey, like, shoot that. So it's stuff like that where he's instilling confidence in you. You have a relationship with him. He's with you every day. He's coming in the training room, seeing what's up. He's in the locker room. You know, I've just never had a coach like that who's so hands-on and so engaged. And I think that's kind of what you're seeing now in college basketball. It's a lot of shift because, you know, a lot of the, like, you look at Coach K, for example, you look at Boeheim, for example, they're out and the younger guys are coming in. So I think he's got what it takes. He's got what it needs, but I know he's not satisfied with the way this year finished because he knows that there's work to be done. And he knows that, you know, to get Ohio State back to where it needs to be, it's never going to stop. The work's never going to stop. And that's just the mentality, the mantra that he has is that, you know, we're going to keep grinding. We're going to be a family, and I'm going to make sure everyone's taken care of, and we're going to be playing at our best.
Yeah, it feels like it, man. I hope it keeps going, and you guys may have helped launch it. I know that your team, at least if this all works out, can say that we were responsible for helping this guy get this job to lead Ohio State. I think that's incredible legacy outside the big dance. I hope that happens for you guys. I hope it comes all the way back to you guys and this team over the last 6 weeks, my man. So good luck next week in Phoenix. We'll be looking forward to those results, and we hope to stay connected. Thanks, Jameson.
Sounds good. Thank you.
He's the man, Jameson Battle. If you didn't like him watching him shoot this year, then you don't have a pulse, because that guy, he was extra smooth this year.
Stuff,
too bad he couldn't hit that last one, but they don't all go in. But I do feel like it was important for him to say that I can take a breath now and feel like we accomplished something.
Yeah, man. He should be proud of what he's cooked up in his collegiate career, and I cannot wait to see what's next, because as we both know, when you have that skill set, people are going to want you.
We'll shift to football in the Buckeye Bulletin, and what's next for a certain skill group on Ohio State's team? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here in the Fan is always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Feeling the chill? Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on Trane furnaces, including 0% APR for 60 months.
All right, Buckeye Bulletin time. And we'll continue with hoops for a moment. And, you know, you hate when a local kid says, I'm out of here, but, you know, it could be not his complete doing. This is about roster shaping and all that. And I just saw within the last few minutes that Bowen Hardman is leaving. He's in the portal. Am I seeing this correctly? I want to make sure.
You sure are.
Okay.
Yeah. Cincinnati kid, right? Who knows what his reasoning...
Yeah, when I said local, I guess I meant Ohio. I'm sorry.
No,
yeah.
It's local enough. I get what you're saying, big dog. But yeah, I mean, look, things are going to be changing here. Under Coach Diebler, maybe he has a feel already of what's around the corner next year as far as playing time goes and the fit or whatever it may be. Who knows what his reasoning is, but this is going to be the fun part, at least in my opinion, of this all season when we talk about basketball, is to see what type of roster he's going to put together. So, yeah, you never really love losing guys like this, especially from inside of the state of Ohio. But I'm sure Coach Diebler has a vision of what he wants to accomplish, and maybe, I don't know, Hardman wasn't a guy that he's going to look at and rely on next year. Who knows?
He's got Colin White coming in, Mr. Ohio. He's got Mobley coming in. And he's got to replace the guy we just talked to in battle. They got to replace Key, you know, to some degree. Mm-hmm. And so this is what it takes. Big time basketball. Now maybe Hardman goes back down and tries to latch on with some of the teams he picked Ohio State over. Xavier, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Like, so maybe
he'd be a great fit for Dayton if he went there.
He could absolutely stay in Ohio. Mm-hmm. So Bowen Hardman, we hardly knew you.
Wish him well, man.
Yeah. How many games did he play this year?
Six, seven? He played in over a span of two seasons, 25.
Oh, that okay, more than I thought. All right. He didn't come in here as a massive star. Yeah. He was a middle star, and you know he was injured coming out of high school a little bit with his ankle, but he scored. He could rebound in high school, and you get to this level. I thought he was a very good shooter in high school. I mean, he was a dead eye, and he was an all-Ohio kid, so we wish him well.
To CB's point, he played 18 games this year, 7 the year before, and he never eclipsed 5 minutes per game.
Yep. Keenan Bailey, I think, is now, he's been around a while. I think he's like in his seventh or eighth season here on the staff. You know, he's just promoted to tight ends coach not long ago. Ryan Day did that. But I love the fact that he's steadily gone up that ladder for Ryan Day. And there's a lot of trust there in Keenan Bailey. And so he is going to be leading those tight ends. And CB, let's pump out the last one first, which is what he feels is next for this tight end group.
Yeah, I think everyone needs to step up. G and Pat and Will and everyone. I mean, I don't know if you're just going to replace a guy like Cade. And what Cade did was special. That was just one player. I think about the unit, right? The unit's got to be the best unit, tight end unit in the conference, best in the country. That's Ohio State. That's why you came here, to be the best. So I don't know if just one person is gonna step in and beat Cade Stover. I'm not asking him to do that. I'm asking the whole unit to be the toughest unit on the team, hardest working unit on the team, and I think we'll like our results.
Well, Will is the most experienced guy he has, so we'll see. But he's talking about G. Scott Jr. and Jelani Thurman. So he is talking about it as a committee. He was asked about Jelani Thurman.
Just like the rest of the unit, my challenge for Jelani, let's be the toughest dude on the field, hardest working guy, and I think Jelani's going to love the results if he does that.
Cade was such a big piece of the passing attack last year, and I know Emeka was dealing with the injury, so maybe that would shift just a little bit with how good Emeka can be when he's right, but Cade was second on the squad in receiving yards and caught a handful of touchdowns, and he and Kyle McCord had a nice amount of chemistry there. This year's team feels a little bit different to me, especially when you have Emeka back and you've got Ennis and Tate, and it seems like Jeremiah Smith is ready to pop as a contributor as a freshman. But that unit is so valuable, right? It's so valuable because it can help you out, obviously, through the air. But if you've got a couple tight ends that can help you out with the rushing attack, too, that's going to be big time. And we know now with Chip Kelly coming in and the addition of him as a play caller and Quinshon Judkins coming in, another really good running back to pair with Travion and Dallin Hayden, you got to have those tight ends, too, that can help out your offensive line. So that unit is going to be very critical. Even if we look at a year AR where they aren't catching a whole bunch of passes, you better have that room ready to rock.
Well, and I'll give you a little deep dive on this. The leading receiver for Will Howard last year at Kansas State was his tight end, as far as yards go. Things change here when you walk into this room.
Right.
You don't have to rely on the tight end for that as much.
Right.
So you're exactly right. Where these guys fit in may be more about helping the offense as a whole. There is upside to a lot of them. As, you know, Thurman, who we just talked about, didn't play a ton as a true freshman. But this offense, you know, has leaned on the veterans like Cade. They've leaned on those guys because they're trustworthy. Here's Keenan on the similarities quickly between Kevin Wilson and Chip Kelly.
You know, some similarities. And I think the comparison is that we're talking about Kevin Wilson and Chip Kelly are two of the brightest, you know, minds in offensive football in the last several decades. So I think there's some similarities there. But, yeah, I think it's allowing Coach Day maybe to delegate, you know, to Coach Kelly and let him be the best version of himself. And Coach Kelly's been an awesome leader, right, of driving us and listening and providing input. So it's been great. I don't know if it's exactly like it was with Coach Wilson, but it feels great however it is right now.
All right, so there you go. They got to be a big part of it. It feels like they're in the do your job category and all will be fine. That is today's Buckeye Bulletin. All right, we'll come back. It is opening day. One team has put a star on administrative leave for a while. We'll tell you about that, and we'll make our predictions. It's MLB time. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Bye, the meatloaf! The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Maxima Concrete. Visit MaximaConcrete.com today to schedule your free estimate.
All right, welcome back. Final hour of the program. We'll do Hockey and Hounds with JD. Bottom of the hour, 2:33. Jackets in Pittsburgh tonight, hoping to end the curse. All right, we got MLB today. I know we had the Dodgers and Pods.
Yeah, now it officially starts.
Now it officially starts. And listen, I think you guys should win your series today, or your game and your series against the Nats. We'll see. I did want to mention this because this has been going on for a while now. He's not probably a household name, but he's a pretty big name in the sport, Wander Franco. And so he's the Tampa Bay Rays shortstop. And he's been placed on administrative leave through June 1st. Now, the interesting part is that he has not been with them since last August. There were horrible allegations with a young girl, and he has not been charged with a crime. I want to say that. And yet the Rays, who opened their season tonight at home against the Blue Jays, have decided to put him on administrative leave. It's probably a smart move at this point. It's an alleged relationship. Who knows where that stands, but Major League Baseball and MLB and the PA agreed on this kind of what you call maneuver that kind of removes him from the 40-man roster, but it's dicey. I mean, we saw what happened with the he said, she said Trevor Bauer stuff. Now, that's not this, but I mean, they got to be very careful here. He's got to make monthly court appearances during this investigation. Probably be he's been staying in the Dominican Republic, where he is under the investigation for this, and so they're going to wait until after this plays out to give him really any discipline.
Okay.
So they don't even know, but this could be extended if there's no update in the investigation by whatever deadline. But I mean, this comes hours before opening day.
Yeah.
They had to get their roster in place today. So
pretty wild.
Yeah.
It's obviously a serious situation, but like you said, off the top, not a household name, but this is one of those star in the makings type of guy.
Still gets paid.
Yeah.
And so, he's owed about $175
million. So let the legal process play out and see what comes from it. But as far as it being a distraction for them, no doubt it's been an absolute distraction because it's been a massive hole on their roster not having him around just because of how talented the dude is.
I'm glad you mentioned of where he is. This 23-year-old kid, I know we're in Columbus, Ohio, but I'm telling you, this guy, 17 homers, 58 ribbies, 30 swipe bags, an OPS of 820. He's
and how many games?
He's legit.
That's the key part.
Yeah, I got to go
played
back.
The whole season last year, you know? So to your point, you have that type of production packed into what I have to imagine, wasn't even 100 games last year. Yeah, the dude can go. He's a star in the making. But, yeah, hopefully for his sake, the stuff off the field gets cleaned up.
I got no update on Shohei Ohtani. It's the gambling interpreter investigation continues. Whether this is a mysterious life of his interpreter or whether there are two questions, and I mentioned this, two very basic questions I would have. Was Shohei making his own illegal gambling debts go away and using his closest guy to help them go away? Or did his closest running buddy of 7-8 years steal millions over time to make his own bets go away?
Yeah, yeah.
And he had access to this guy's financials. It seems weird.
Yeah.
If he was tagging him for a half a mil every now and then, why would anybody not notice that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a little odd. And so the circumstantial evidence points to that. Boy, if Shohei was making, how could this guy make those sizable bets unless he truly was stealing from him to do it? And why would it take Shohei's camp to realize that over this amount of years? It just, it reeks.
And doesn't smell right,
not,
does it?
It's not great because his story had changed. They eventually had to cut him loose and call, because originally the money that went from Shohei's account went right to that illegal bookie. Yes. That's not good. If anything, you would have given that guy the money personally to go do it. So maybe them changing the story to he stole it. Well, okay, that's the only viable thing. Now, I'm wondering who's going to want to take down whom. And if they get to this interpreter and say, hey, our biggest fish to fry is this illegal gambling outfit. So how did this really happen? But I don't know how close they are. He just called him a thief, so I can't imagine they're close anymore, if they even were.
Right. But their relationship prior to this was kind of like the two best friends that anybody could have type of vibe.
Been a lot of years
going on there. I'm not at the point where I fully believe Shohei Ohtani, if I'm being completely honest. I am not there, because it seems a bit naive to me that this would be going on at that level without him having any idea of what was going down with his personal finances. And we're talking millions and millions of dollars, and you didn't know anything? I don't know, big dog.
Everybody knows a lot about their own money.
Right.
I don't care how much you make. Now, maybe if you're at that point,
this isn't a financial advisor.
Correct.
Right.
That would have access to that, to buying and selling equities and things. Right.
This is
totally
one of the homies.
That's right.
This is
why would he have access unless Shohei's keeping stacks of cash under the mattress and he just never looked?
I don't I don't know, man. I don't know about this one.
It's
just weird. It's just so weird.
It's weird, but is it really? Because this may be reduced to the most basic of basic stuff, which is rich, young, successful, drawn into the gambling part of it. And I'll tell you what, let's have some fun. Let's make some bets. I'll do them through you. I can't have my name on this.
Maybe.
The guy then Shohei finally got to the point where the bookmaker was like, hey, you owe us $4.5 million. It's time to pay up. If not, guess what's going
to
happen?
We're sending the black trucks to your house.
Or even worse, we're going to out it somehow, or leak it or something. But why would they want to leak it against themselves if they're illegal? You wouldn't want that, because they want to presumably keep doing business. So that's why there's a little bit of plausibility in that this guy was just on his own. It's just the amount of money.
Oh, man.
That's it. Yeah. And so, I mean, he's married. Shohei's married. His wife plays basketball, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't know she was a hooper.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, they all went to the Seoul series together. She was on the, that jet together.
She was getting the Taylor Swift treatment. I mean, they cut to her so many times during those games. I was like, all right, enough. I get it. It's Shohei Ohtani's wife. Let's move on.
Well, that's just the way it is.
But she's not Taylor Swift. Like,
well, maybe she is in Japan.
Oh, you know what?
I don't know.
Maybe, you know.
I could be
maybe
wrong.
She's
You're right.
Caitlin
she's not
Clark.
A singer.
Maybe she's the Caitlin Clark of hoop over there. I have no idea.
Could be, Maddie. Anyway, back to your squad. You said print the shirts.
Well, I don't know if I've dropped that just yet. That hasn't come out of my mouth yet. I haven't dropped
wait
a print.
Wait a minute, yet. CB, I checked the tape. Didn't he say all the way to the world, winning a World Series?
I think there's a sign back in this keyboard that says print the shirts.
I did not make that sign.
Yeah,
that
but no, I'm talking about just a couple of days ago or a day ago. I thought you said, I can't wait to watch my Reds somehow go win the World Series.
The three magical words have not come out of my mouth just yet. Not yet.
Okay.
But you're right. We're just 2 hours and some change away, baby, from this thing getting rolling.
I feel like you're not going to win the division.
Dang.
I don't
going
know
Homer
that
with your Cubbies right now?
I'm not a Cub fan.
Go Cubs, go.
I'm really not.
What's Harry up to?
Well, that's not nice. That's not how we do it on this show.
Oh, man, that was tough. My bad. I went heel right there, CB. I went heel right there.
Listen, you guys are right there with the Cubbies.
It's going to be a wild
By the
division.
Way, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What in the world's happened to the Brewers?
Well, they traded Corbin Burns.
I know.
They brought They went young, so we shall see. But yeah,
manager turns heel.
Yeah, goes up the road essentially.
I mean, that's by the way,
Chicago.
You want to talk about money talking? That's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
I mean, Council. That was
he's getting eight a year. I think
he grew up in Wisconsin.
He got a nice bag
from Whitefish Bay.
Got a nice bag. But yeah, they did get rid of a lot. I think for both CB's squads and my squads, both Centrals are kind of up in the air. Like they really are. There really isn't that dominant team. I know a lot of people like the Cubs and what they've done, especially bringing back Bellinger and things of that nature. But I absolutely believe both the NL Central and the AL Central are going to be races that we talk about deep into the summer and the early portions of fall as some nice races, man.
This will be very neat to see if, and first of all, the Yankees should be back with Judge and Soto.
I don't know, big dog. That pitching's a problem.
I know, it's rough.
Cole's on the 60-day IL. Tough, yeah. And you don't
but
know.
I think your boy Judge will be right there.
But you need arms, man.
I know.
You need pitching. That's a big deal. But, yeah, I can't wait to see what that looks like, to your point, AR. Just Soto and Judge in that lineup, and especially getting Juan Soto in a walk year. He's hitting free agency at the end of the year. He's going to be so locked in.
I feel like your first pick in fantasy was Mookie Betts. Great pick.
Love Mookie.
I was later than you. You had the fourth pick?
Yeah, I had four.
Yeah, so I was, what was I, nine? I think I was nine. I took Soto, and then we both weighed in on pitching, but I think that my guy, Tariq Skubal for the Tigers, who is my ace this year, is going to have a phenomenal year. I feel in my bones, man.
Well,
I think he's got Cy Young written all over.
Fantasy emotion in there.
Yeah, there is.
I get that.
And so and here's the unfortunate thing, and you may like this. I think we're going to get the same characters over and over this year. Doesn't it feel Dodgers, Braves, Orioles will be back, Astros will be there.
Tell you what, man, the Dodgers division, the NL West, they're going to make them earn it. Like, they are going to make them earn it. I know everybody, they're this juggernaut on paper. I got questions about their pitching. Like, I really do. Like, I'm in, obviously, on Ohtani, Betts, and Mookie Freeman. You'd be an idiot not to be in on that. But I think the Diamondbacks, who got to the World Series, the Padres still look good to me. Like, I don't think this is going to be necessarily a cakewalk for the Dodgers specifically in that division. But, yeah, there's a lot of people that are rolling with kind of the big three of the NL, Dodgers, Phillies, or Braves.
All right, I got you finishing second but getting in. Where are the guards? Third or fourth?
In the division? You got them third or fourth? I think the Twins are the favorite.
I think the Tigers are probably right there.
The Tigers should be a nice little team.
Tigers, Twins, guards?
I just, like the Guardians, are we getting enough offense?
Mm.
Like, this is 3 years in a row that we've been sitting here talking about what offensive production are they going to get, especially the outfielders. Like, I don't know, man. Quan, I love him. Love him. But we need more pop.
They don't score.
They
last
don't.
I checked.
And they put so much pressure on their pitching staff to be great. And their pitching staff's already dealing with injuries.
Here's the two things they don't do, which is bad. They don't score, and they don't hit home runs.
That's the big one.
And
right
so
there.
If
that's the
that
big
means
one.
I need to manufacture so much.
Right.
Because I can't, with one swing of the slugger, get me back in a game,
yeah,
and that's
not,
that's trouble.
You're not ripping off that three-run home run that you're talking about, and you're asking your starters to go five, six innings of two runs, three runs at most that
Guess
you can
what,
give
Matty?
Up. What's up?
We get to put somebody in the under the white-hot spotlight tomorrow
Ooh.
About what we just said. J-Lew.
Okay, the Vandy boy.
We're throwing chin music, and guess what? That's not going to be over some bullpen phone.
Live and in the flesh?
I want him in here facing the music.
Okay, let's go.
The chin
J-Lew.
Music.
Let's go.
That's it. All right? Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to come back with pre-snap reads after this. This one team that may not have the ammunition to move up, can they somehow manufacture that move? We'll tell you next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by the Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, before we get to the pre-snappers, we'll do a Bet365. Remember, at Bet365, we don't do ordinary. All right, so I think it's time to dip the toe back in the water on hoops tonight. So, Sweet 16 back on tonight. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to stay up for any kind of bet. So I'm going to take the first game, and I'm going to do a mental hedge against my Cats. And I'm going to take Clemson plus, I think they're plus 7. I'll double check. And the reason why I'm doing this is because, yeah, they're plus 7. I mean, I could buy it up a little bit and pair it with something else, maybe pair it with UConn on the money line maybe. I may do that. I may buy a few more points on that spread just to give myself a little bit bigger runway. But the reason I'm doing it is because Clemson is 8-1 against the spread as an underdog.
Okay.
They have found a way to be taken lightly, and I don't think Arizona wants to do that. I thought they played really well in their last game, and it is a mental hedge because I've liked Arizona, but I could see myself taking in, because on Bet365, which is cool, you can go to the alternate point spread. You don't have to just take what's being given. Mm-hmm. You can add to that. So, and by the way, they have alternate point spreads going both ways. And so I could take Clemson, if I really wanted to pay the big freight. I'd have to pair this with other teams, which I might. Maybe I take Clemson. Well, I'd have to jump all the way up to like 16.5. And I don't think I need that much. But if I wanted to do that, I might. But I'm going to originally take them at the 7. Because they've been so good as a dog.
Okay, there we go. There we go. If you want to roll with AR, you can do so at Bet365 because it's never ordinary at Bet365. Sign up at oh.bet365.com. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
Maybe what's actually better than mocks is when we get the blockbuster trade mocks. Yes, they're a little more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And as the NFL draft is fast approaching, the Denver Broncos, now we assume they would take a quarterback with the 12th pick. The problem is, can they really wait for that? And Matt Miller did a, believe it or not, Matty, he did a 7-round mock.
I'm sure he was happy when his boss assigned him with that job.
My goodness. Well, it's good job security, I guess. Maybe you're the only one that wanted to do it. And the Broncos. So he has the Broncos trading up with the Cardinals. We have sound on this. Let's hear him say it.
Yeah, Laura, if it goes like this, we are going to see a lot of phone calls, a lot of activity, because someone, some team is going to be left out. Whether it's the Raiders or maybe it's even the Saints, someone is going to try to get to this number 4 spot. I think Sean Payton is the person who is just aggressive enough, maybe crazy enough to do this. Now, interesting, Denver doesn't have a second-round pick. They traded it to get Russell Wilson. So they would actually have to give more future first-rounders, which I think would be enticing to the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals can slide back to that 12th spot in the round, still get a marquee wide receiver, can maybe get help on the defensive line later in the draft. And they would have 2 first-round picks. And then I think for Denver, you got to go get that guy. Because at 12 right now, You have Jarrett Stidham at quarterback, and at 12, you're hoping Bo Nix is still there. So I think if you're Denver, this is the time to be aggressive. We've all heard Arizona is willing to do what they did last year, which is take an offer that would blow them away and move back and still maybe get the player that they like. They did a great job last year getting Paris Johnson Jr. I think this year they trade back. They could still get a marquee wide receiver.
I mean, if the Broncos end up getting their franchise quarterback of the future, then of course it's worth it. But nobody, I can't imagine giving up that premium capital. If I'm Arizona, I actually like it. The only thing you're giving up if you're Arizona is the chance to get Marvin Harrison Jr. if that's who you want, because you won't. Right? I don't think you get him at 12.
That's probably a wrap. Oh. But he does have, talking Matt Miller, you know, NFL draft analyst for ESPN, at 12, them taking Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver from LSU. So clearly he's not Marvin Harrison Jr., but he can go. He can absolutely go. What I find fascinating about this seventh-round mock draft that he cooked up is your team at 3. So he's got Denver trading up to 4, but he has your team, the Minnesota Vikings, swapping out with the New England Patriots at 3.
But don't they both want the same quarterback?
Who knows?
JJ?
Who knows at this? Well, remember, the Drake May ties with Josh McCown. Yep. And he coached him in high school, and now Josh McCown's your quarterback coach in Minnesota. So that's going to be fast. Is that race? Because we've been talking for weeks now about the teams that are picking 11, 12, 13, Raiders, Vikings, and the Broncos. Who's going to bust them move up high enough to get a guy that they may like? And there's been chatter out there that New England may be okay with passing on this crop of quarterbacks to get more draft picks or whatever to build out their roster.
Finally over. Brady's gone and Belichick's retired. It's finally over. Yeah. I think they should get into a rebuild and embrace that. The interesting part for me is Sean Payton. I mean, the weird part is if he's wanted to find his next Drew Brees, he kind of had the aging version of him, which was Russell Wilson. But now he's got to find the newer, improved version, and that may be J.J. McCarthy.
Mr. Unlimited.
There he is. 28 starts in college, but 27-1. I understand it. And he was a 72% passer.
The winner.
Didn't throw picks, and his third down QBR was really good.
Mm. You love J.J. McCarthy. I think you want him in Minnesota. I think you want him there.
No, I said that if he fell to us at 11, I wouldn't be opposed to taking him.
He ain't going to be there. I don't think he's not going to be there. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, right?
Well, that's where we are.
Yeah.
I don't have the crystal ball, but
yeah, wish you
JJ's, did. They just say, man, he processes. He can hit the short intermediates.
Why didn't Harbaugh ask him to do more then? Like, that's where I'm at. Like, when you have that guy at the quarterback position.
I think he was aggressive. Overly aggressive at times.
Why was not more put on his plate? When you have a dude at that position, you're going to feed him. You're going to allow him to cook.
They won 27-28.
I'm not arguing with the results. I'm just saying if he is as good as everybody's starting to tell us that he is, I don't know. My eyes didn't see that all the time over the last 2 years watching him play. I just didn't see that.
Well, I think he improved from 1 year to the next. That I'll give him. And the other part is I do think he was incredibly accurate. He made big throws, and he seemed to turn into a little bit of a gamer at times. But when you have that running game, you can lean on. And the defense at times, when their defense was really good.
For sure.
And so the key was to just make the big plays when you have to. And I think that's what they did. I do. And when, I'll tell you, I felt like I got to give it to him a little bit as far as when they needed to call a play that was aggressive at times when you could be conservative, they didn't. They called it aggressive. And he had guys that made plays for him. So here we are. I'm with you. I mean, going up and spending all that ammunition, I'm not into.
Yeah. You want him to fall. Yeah. I get that.
All right. Those are your pre-snap reads for today. All right. Jackets in Pittsburgh. It's the final evaluation. You know, 10 to go. But there is a rivalry game tonight. JD will jump on next. Rothman and Ice of the Fan.
Big voice guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have 3 more seconds. Bye-bye.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present
Hockey and Hounds.
Sponsored by Talhio Credit Union.
Now joining the boys, the top dog in the front office, John Davidson.
Yeah, he's had a lot on his plate, folks. A lot on his plate, and he's going to take a little off here with us for a few minutes. He is John Davidson, acting GM, president of Hockey Ops, and good to have you back, my man. Hope things are going well.
Good day, good day. How are you?
We're okay. You know, before we get to good, the stuff good. On GM and stuff, I want to get your opinion on, you know, your head coach that got thrown into this at the beginning of the year, and Pascal, and what you, the evaluation phase. Obviously, he lost Line A early. He was thrown into this. And now we sit here, certainly, you know, trying to get something good off the end of the year here. But is your evaluation of him, is that going to be put on a new GM? How much do you feel like the confidence you have to take him into next year and feel like he's still the guy?
Yeah. I think that in a situation like this, we all know, everybody knows that when a new person comes in, and he's going to evaluate and make his own decisions. I think that's just the way the business goes. We all knew that. Look forward to see what that person, whenever he gets to our organization, what he thinks and how he's going to analyze and make the decisions. That's the only thing that makes any common sense to me in this situation. And, you know, everybody's in position where they are. But if a new man comes in and he's got different ideas, then it's going to be his decision that we have to listen to.
JD, how are things going with the GM search? I know this is probably a hectic thing that you have to deal with, but it's obviously a very important piece to organize to an organization.
Yeah.
Can you provide us with any type of an update on the search?
Yeah, we're in the beginning of the whole thing, basically. You know, there's a lot of people that have either emailed or called or had agents call or had friends call. And when you sift through the names, some of them are you have to do your due diligence on every single one of them. They have interest, then we'll look at it. But we'll weed the list down and to see what fits our criteria. Remember that the league is still playing. The league is still going. And it's very difficult to go to an organization and say, listen, can we talk to such and such? And they'll say, sure, but you have to wait till our season's over. So this thing is going to, we'd like to get it done yesterday, obviously. It just made nothing but sense. But the reality is it's going to take some time.
Yeah, and you know, when we talked to you weeks ago, I guess I didn't have any real assumption that you'd have something done by the draft and all that. So how did you feel you came through that, knowing you were still trying to find the future GM and also having to manage that yourself? Did you feel you accomplished what you wanted to?
Yeah, I think so. We were
the trade deadline. I meant the trade deadline. I'm sorry.
I know what you meant there. We basically had a couple of things that we had to do with Andrew Peak. He's a young man that we look at our right side and Juracek's coming and this and that. So it was the right time to move a player that did have some term left, and we did. And then with Jack Rozovic, it simply put, it was an expiring contract. So what you do in turn is, with any expiring contract, is you try to get something while you can if you're in the selling position, which we certainly were. And then in turn, with any player that leaves, if they become free agents, you always put them on a list and you can spark talks once again if that ever comes to fruition. So with Jack, it was pretty simple. Let's try to garner what we could, which we did. He's in a good position where he's gotten good ice time in New York. That's exactly what they were looking for. So, and Andrew's playing in Boston. So I think as far as those things go, it was kind of a win-win for everybody in that situation, including the players that left.
JD, was part of dealing with the trade deadline similar to my question to you about the head coach, is that you didn't want to go crazy because you want to let that new person lead the direction?
That's exactly correct. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly correct. And I think it's sensible, too, and whomever, again, that it is that's coming in. And the idea is to get someone from the outside who has a total new look at what we are, where we are, what we're trying to accomplish. And then we put our brains together and let him go to work, or whoever that person is, and and put his fingerprints all over the organization. So it's something that's it's laborious, obviously, but it's something you want to get done. But you just can't right now. You just can't snap your fingers and say, okay, that's the guy, because there's so many moving parts as to when you can talk to people, when you can't. And so you may as well be as patient as possible to do the best job you can to get the right person for the organization. So no rush into anything at all. Just get the right person. That's the key.
Want to go down to the ice with you, JD, and ask about Tarasov, because it seems like he's really kind of caught a nice stride here and done some good things in net. From your perspective, why do you think he's starting to figure some things out and play well?
Yeah, he's. I think when you look at our club where we are right now, as of 3 or 4 weeks ago, you know, we were plugging along, we were doing some good things after the dreadful start that we had. We were a tough out when we did not win games. Now we've got the 6, 7, 8 injuries, and mostly forwards, all forwards. It's created a problem. And then you try to look at the club, and you, what have we accomplished? What have we gained? And I think that might be at the top of the list, and that's Tarasov's play. And the reason is simple: he didn't play last year hardly at all, and that's a long period of time with the injuries that he's had. And I credit our staff with working with him, not only on the ice but off the ice, to kind of rebuild his body, to get him stronger and more confident, and then on the ice with Nick Backstrom, our goalie coach, they've worked very well together. The kid had promise. Now he's starting to really show it, and especially in a constant, in a consistent fashion. He's starting tonight here in Pittsburgh. But he's an interesting kid. He's not gotten a lot of experience, but he's in a happy place. He's married. They not too long ago had a little one that he's really enamored with. His demeanor is exceptional. He's an exceptional worker. The way he works, the way he accepts the pressure of the position, all this stuff. So it's really been a good sign for us. And if he can continue, even though right now we're a club that's just, it's hard. It's really hard right now. I was counting the other day, if you took Jack Roslovic as part of it, we've got 8 forwards out that would have been there at the start of the season, 8 guys, and you dress 12.
Yeah.
And you could have 14 in your carry, but this is a very difficult time to go through this right now, and it's a push to keep our players going and fighting and battling, but it's hard, and it's just the reality of it. We were relatively healthy, you know, Line A we lost early, but when you start talking about Bentelli and Kent Johnson, who you wanted in the lineup to see them develop, and then you've got veteran players like Danforth and Corrali, Chinnikov, who was really popping. You know, it goes on and on here. But we're having a look at some of the young players from Cleveland. And by the way, with it being tough like this, we're robbing Cleveland of good players that are good there. And so now they're having a struggle. And they've had a real strong season, but we've called up quite a few of their players over the last 2 to 3 weeks, and it's hurt them. So this is just a tough time that we've got to battle through till the end of the season. And I'm exceptionally happy that Tarasov has caught his stride and showing his stuff.
No doubt. Hopefully you get to the finish line okay here. We'll cut you loose here in a minute. I want to mention, you know, I mentioned this dog a couple weeks ago, and I think you'll relate to this. So there's a rescue in town called ihaveadreamrescue.org. That's the site, ihaveadreamrescue.org. And they've done a lot with some pit mixes over the years, and I've certainly been associated with them for a while here and just trying to help promote them. And I met this dog a few weeks ago, TJ. TJ is like he's a senior. He's a 10-year-old, like a Dobie lab mix is my best guess. But don't let his age fool you. I've spent time with him. He's spunky. He's playful. He likes walks. He loves to go in the car. And, you know, you've been in a house where you've had to rotate some dogs, and he just doesn't love other dogs at this age of his life, but he's so sweet. And so the challenge is to find a family who would either donate or foster or adopt for his cause, because he lives up at Polaris Animal Care Center, because we can't find him a foster, and it's so costly for him to live there. He's in a beautiful suite, and I love it. but we're trying to get him a home. And the problem is, you know, animal lovers, most of them have animals in their home. So it's going to take a needle in a haystack to find it, but I want to keep trying. He deserves it. I want it for him. And so I'm putting TJ out there again, and just to try to just appeal to people who may, hey, maybe you can help donate to help him stay at the care center a little longer, or maybe you can foster because you don't have a dog right now and you're willing. And when you foster, the rescue pays for all everything, food, meds, bed, whatever he needs. And then the big dream would be to get him adopted. So I'm putting TJ out there, JD. You know what it's like to have dogs that have a little bit of a challenge with other dogs, but he is awesome. He walks well on a leash. Yeah. He's just a little reactive, but he knows all his, you know, he's not like a young reactive dog that would, you know, be a real challenge. He's an older guy. He just wants to be on his own, you know?
Yeah.
So TJ's out there for us today.
God bless you and the work you do, and God bless TJ. I can't say enough about those types of dogs. They just make you melt. Here's a real quick story. Last night here in Pittsburgh, I went out with a gentleman that had purchased, actually, to be honest with you, through our foundation, the Blue Jackets Foundation. He had donated funds to have dinner with Yarmo. Yarmo's not here, obviously, and incidentally, he's doing very well. We talk every day. But anyway, I went to dinner with this gentleman, and a lot of the conversation during dinner last night was about his dog that he rescued the first time he had done it. And how much has changed his life. It was remarkable.
Yeah, that's cool. It is.
So for a dog like TJ, we're pulling for you, TJ. Please, if there's somebody out there that feels strongly about these things, they love you more than you love them. I'm telling you, it's something else.
I'll keep you updated on him. I'll be going to see him soon. Thanks, JD.
That'd be great.
Good luck tonight in Pittsburgh.
Super. Thank you, gang. I appreciate it. All the best.
Thanks, my man. JD, president of Hockey Ops, interim GM here on Rothman and Ice Hockey and Hounds, brought to you by Telhire Credit Union. They're number one in my heart. They know what it's like. They're the number one small business lender among credit unions in Ohio. They have supported this since the beginning. Find out more at telhio.org. We'll come back with Truth, Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destiny.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
All right, CB, what you got?
All right, so props to you, AR, on pointing this out to me, because I saw the news yesterday. It was Colleen Wolfe, I believe, on NFL Network, or she was on the show around the NFL, I believe, where she mentioned that there was like an awkward, heated conversation between the owner of the Jets, Woody Johnson, and head coach Robert Saleh. And then it sounds like it got back to Woody Johnson, because he just responded to it on Twitter. He posted, "All of this nonsense about a heated argument between Coach Saleh and me at the league meeting is absolutely false. It is yet another irresponsible report from NFL Network. Please disregard." Tell the truth. Is he telling the truth?
So there are different levels of heated, and everyone has a different view of it. His definition could be different. I did think Colleen Wolfe's report was a little bit off in that she kind of dropped a who knows, it could have been about anything. Well, if they're having a heated argument about how this guy got the last, you know, role or something, I don't need to know that. But if it is something related to football and it was awkward and people witnessed it, I don't know why she would report that if it wasn't true. Plus, it was at the owners' meetings. But here's the thing you got to be careful of. When you don't know the people involved personally, I mean, you and I could be having a heated debate in the parking lot
about fantasy baseball.
Somebody might walk by and go, Rothman and Ice, they're really getting after it out there. I thought they were going to throw down. That's a little careful. But she is with the NFL Network, and I feel like, you know, I even said it earlier, you know, he's on the hot seat, man. Now, I don't think you would bring that up at the owners' meetings. So the truth of this is, I think there's a shade of gray here, but I'm going to believe her in that things. Well, she said that things got awkward. That's different than, because that means you've gotten to a result. That they just, somebody gave somebody the wave off, and
yeah.
But I don't think it's,
I don't think it's super heavy. Like, I would be shocked if these dudes.
But there's a little truth to it.
There might be.
Yeah.
There might be. But I would be surprised if these guys publicly went down that type of road knowing that what it would turn into. I think, I would hope at least that they would kind of funnel their emotions in the right way. I don't know, though, man. Like, it's hard for me to really just blow by this, CB, and think that somebody's making this up. So, I don't know. I think I'm going to take the easy way out.
I mean, he's 76. Maybe he wanted to eat dinner at 4:30 and not 5 o'clock so we could save a couple of bucks.
I don't think
Woody... Listen, Robert, I'm not forcing myself a steak at 4 o'clock just to save a couple of bucks.
I don't think Woody would want any real smoke with Robert Saleh, a.k.a. Xerxes from 300.
Well, one guy's a multi-billionaire, and the other guy is the coach.
So maybe he would want to
smoke. So that may be the flex.
I don't know. We'll see, though.
Yeah.
We'll see. Something to remember.
Just find out right now today is true.
All right. Matt, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was about 4 minutes into the game last night of the Warriors game where Draymond was then ejected for his usual antics. We've seen in the past that he's had issues with his teammates before with the fight with Jordan Poole. He's no longer with the team. But my question to you is tell the truth of the guys that are currently on this Warriors roster. In an important game like that, it has to make them frustrated. Do you think they would want to fight Draymond Green over what he's been doing?
I'm glad that you said the important word, because they are in a situation where they're fighting for their lives in the play-in. So all of these games are so critical for him. And it seemed like one of those situations they are where Draymond just didn't even want to play. Like, if you're getting tossed out of the game within the first 5 minutes, you just don't even want to be there that day. To answer your question,
if you're getting the second one to get the auto eject.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you just didn't even want to be in the building last night. I'm sure there's guys that want to. I mean, Steph and Clay and Steve Kerr probably do want to put the pause on Draymond Green, because it's ridiculous. And think about all the games he's missed this year because of suspension, and think about where they are now in the postseason race. And we know how important and good he is when he's out there on the floor. So yeah, if I was a dude in that locker room, absolutely I'd want to throw hands with Draymond.
So this needs to be an intervention soprano style. And we need to get some kind of coffee table broken, some guy falling off a chair. Like, there needs to be an intervention.
Some furniture getting moved.
Where he needs to come out of wherever he is and walk into a room, and then everyone's there. And what are you guys doing here? Like, that needs to happen. Because Steph can't take him on his own.
Shall set you free!
Oh, maybe get Aisha to help him. I don't know what's going on with them. They're a mess. Draymond is just... It's always something with him. It's always something with him. Hey, guys, if you missed today's show, Dan Dockage talking Sweet 16, Jamison Battle taking us behind the scenes of the Ohio State season and more, and then Hockey and Hounds with John Davidson. Wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice, and those interviews and a lot more will be there waiting for you.
And if you need, or you can help me with TJ from IHaveADreamRescue.org, hit me up on email, Twitter, call me, whatever. Just open a window and say, hey, yo, and I'll come
running. Slide in his DMs is what he's really saying.
No. If that's the way it's got to be done, I'm ready. All right. Have a great rest of your afternoon. Maddie, enjoy your Reds today.
Come
got
on,
a
baby.
Nice new hat on with the rope lid. I love it.
You like
that's
that?
A sharp hat.
It's Ellie
season. The question
season.
Is, if they don't win today, when does that hat make an appearance again?
Tomorrow.
I thought you said
football. Just football.
Oh,
football. The Reds are
exempt.
We've got 162 of these.
Common Man and T-Bone up next. Rothman and Ice in the Fan.
This promo is brought to you by Common Man and Timmy Hall's Ping Pong Game. The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by ESPN Bet. ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN. Gambling from code 1-800-GAMBLER. Opening days here, the Reds are hosting the Nationals and are -155 on the money line. Cincinnati's +340 to win the NL Central. The Guardians are also a -155 favorite taking on the A's. Cleveland is +350 to win the AL Central and +220 to make the playoffs this year. For your ESPN Bet Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good afternoon. I'm Buddy Wells. It's opening day for the 2024 Major League Baseball season. 26 of the 30 teams will be on the diamond today as the Brewers-Mets game in New York and Braves-Phillies game in Philadelphia have both been postponed due to weather. We're about an hour and change from the Reds getting their season started. Cincinnati opens up at home against the Nationals. First pitch is at 4:10. Frankie Montas starts for the Reds. Meanwhile, the Guardians begin out on the West Coast. They face the A's in Oakland. First pitch is a late one tonight. It's at 10:07. Shane Bieber starts for Cleveland. In hockey, the Blue Jackets wrap up their five-game road trip tonight as they're in Pittsburgh to take on the Penguins. Face-off is at 7. Pre-game coverage will start here on the Fan at 6:30. Columbus is 0-4 on the road trip so far, and they've lost their last five games in a row. And the men's NCAA tournament resumes tonight with four games in the Sweet 16. Clemson and Arizona will get us started at 7:09. This update is sponsored by Nature Stone. Schedule your free cost estimate today at naturestone.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.